Let me just take just a short time just to share a little bit about Simchat Torah. You know, within Judaism, there's a deep respect for God's word, especially in the Torah, especially the Torah. And I was thinking, like, where in the Christian community is there an appointed time in the year to celebrate God's word? You know, God's word in many congregations is becoming less and less being spoken. And you can go in some churches, you go there, they don't speak the word of God very often or very much. And here in Beth Shekinah, we really have an emphasis on God's word. And that's why Simchat Torah is so important, because once a year, during the season of rejoicing, as we conclude our Feast of Sukkot, we conclude with this Simchat Torah, this time that we can celebrate God's word. And so as a Messianic community, we have a strong emphasis on the word of God. And every week we honor the word by devoting part of our service to public reading of scripture during our Torah service. And you know, Moses said that during the Feast of Sukkot, they'd read from the Torah. So there's a scripture here I'd like to read. This is actually during the Shemitah year, Deuteronomy 3:31-13, if you can maybe turn to that. It says that Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of canceling debts, during the Feast of Sukkot, when all of Israel comes to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses, you are to read this Torah before them in their hearing. Gather the people, the men and the women and the little ones and the outsider within your town gates, so they may hear and so they may learn, and they will fear Adonai your God and take care to do all the words of this Torah. So their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Adonai your God all the days that you live on the land you're about to cross over the Jordan to possess. So here on the Feast of Sukkot, the seventh year, they're to read the Torah to the people. And so that's something that was practiced in that time. And then we move into the New Covenant. Paul admonished Timothy in his letter, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophetic message when elders lay hands on you. So Paul said that, you know, give attention to public reading of scripture. And that's what we do. We give public reading. And then in 2 Timothy 4, the next slide, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to myths. So we know that we're living in an age of great deception today, and there are many false doctrines and false teaching being taught today that are contrary to the scriptures. And many of God's people are being led astray by many winds of doctrine, many false doctrines and teachings, and so we need to be so careful. And we need to speak the truth in love so that we can grow up and mature in all ways. Because we're all being conformed into his image and his likeness. And in the next scripture, Paul reminded Timothy that from your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Messiah Yeshua. So the scriptures have the power to make us wise as we work out our salvation. And we must never neglect the word of God, otherwise we'll experience truth decay. You know, spiritually speaking. And spiritually speaking, the Lord wants us to have healthy gums and teeth so that we can chew and meditate on the word of God. And not just drink the milk of the word. God wants us to get beyond the milk. There's so much more for us to learn as we dig deeper in God's word and really feed on his living word. Because Yeshua said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we need to grow up and we need to press on to maturity. And the word of God is the foundation and the anchor of our faith. So we will not be led astray. You know, on the solid rock of God's word we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So the word of God is so powerful and so important. And every year on Simchat Torah, we conclude the reading of the Torah by reading the account of Moses' death. And we wonder, why do we read about Moses' death when it's supposed to be a time of joy and rejoicing? Well, Moses' death was rather unusual. And when we realize that, unlike Abraham, who died a good old age, you know, seeing the fruit of his labor, yet it tells us in Deuteronomy 34 that Moses was 120 years old, when he died, his eyes were not weak and his strength had not gone. 120 years old, he was still strong, could see well, he was still strong, and yet the Lord took him. There's an interesting reference to Moses in the book of Jude. For some unknown reason, the archangel Michael was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. And so there's some mystery about how Moses died and where he was buried. But we know that the goal of his ministry was to bring the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. But he never had the opportunity to enter the promised land. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, listening to all the grumbling and complaining and the rebellion. And he was a great prophet, a great shepherd, and yet he never had the opportunity to enter into the promised land. But on this last reading from the Torah, we give honor to Moses, who received the revelation of the Torah, who had this amazing experience with God on the mountain. And he came down, his face was radiant, and he had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was all over Moses. And so Moses was one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, one of the greatest shepherds who ever lived, apart from Yeshua. And Hebrews 3 begins by speaking about Moses and how Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house. And so Moses was a great man of God. You know, the Torah contains all the wisdom and the instructions we need to live healthy, happy, successful, and prosperous lives. In Psalms 119, I think there's a scripture there. You know, Psalms 119, there's 176 verses in Psalms 119, the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and much of it's devoted to God's word. It says, "Oh, how I love your Torah, is my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are mine forever. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Your testimonies are wonderful." And continuing on, "Therefore my soul obeys them. The unfolding of your word gives light, giving understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your Torah. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have they who love your Torah." Do we love God's word? Do we really have a hunger for God's word? You know, the rabbis say that Israel's commitment to reading the Torah every year is a symbol of their loyalty to the Torah. It's the answer to God's command that we read from Joshua 1:8 and 9 in the readings. That this book of law will not depart from our mouth, but we will meditate on a day and night that we may prove to do according to all that is written therein. And then we will make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. And so we are to meditate on God's word, we're to study God's word so that we can have success in all that we do. And there's a Proverbs 4:20-23, it says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline my words to your sayings, to my sayings, do not let them out of your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh, your whole body. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life." We've been really immersed in God's word today as we heard all these different words, the words being spoken in many different languages and hearing God's word. And God wants us to immerse ourselves in his word and to really have a hunger and thirst for his word. So we're really filled with gratitude for the great gift that God's bestowed upon us, because our Jewish ancestors, they had to go through much suffering and persecution and exile and hardship. Many of them died in order to preserve the word of God. And so our people have achieved and thrived in spite of their suffering. Mark Twain once wrote, "All things remain mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?" You know, the secret we know is the special gift that God gave us, the Jewish people, the word of God. Paul said, "What advantage has a Jew? Much in every way to them were given the oracles of God." So the Word of God is one of Israel's greatest contributions, you know, to mankind. And the whole plan and purpose of God is revealed in the Scriptures. And the Bible is supernatural, because what other book can you look at and you can actually know the future before it happens? God has given us an opportunity to know the future of what's going to happen before it happens. That's why the Bible is not any ordinary book. It's unique from any other, and it's still the number one best-selling book in the world today. You know, Yeshua said in John 6, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Yeshua is the living Torah that became flesh and dwelt among us. And Paul said in Romans 7:12, I think there's a scripture there, the Torah is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. And Psalms 119, once again, how sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman wrote, why are we accustomed to finish and restart the reading of the Torah on the same day? And the sages explain, to show that the Torah is beloved to us like something new and not like something old which a person no longer treasures. And we can read a book. I mean, Jan reads books every week, every day. But once she finishes that book, she doesn't read it again, right? This is the only book that we keep reading over and over again, and we never get tired of reading this book. Amen. I hope you don't get tired of reading this book. And actually, I did include some, where is that? We have some Torah portions. You know, if you want to pick up a Torah portion, if you didn't already, we have some on the table. Put it in your Bible, and it follows the whole cycle of the 54 Torah portions in the year, plus a special reading. So pick one of these up, put it in your Bible, and just, you know, follow the Torah readings as they happen every week. Let's see here. Maybe I'll move a little bit there. So I really encourage us as we begin to read the Torah once again, beginning this week and next week, we're going to begin in the book of Genesis, once again, the book of beginnings. And I pray that we'll be able to look at it with fresh eyes because we have matured over the past year, hopefully. And hopefully when we look into God's word, we're going to see some new insights and some fresh revelation in God's word. You know, Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and they became for me the joy and the delight of my heart. I hope that we really delight in God's word. And may this be true for each one of us, you know, as we begin reading through God's word once again. It's important. Like, I make a point of reading through the Bible every year, from Genesis to Revelation, and we need to have a plan of reading through the scriptures. So I encourage you to make sure that you have a Bible reading plan. I want to just kind of close with a section on the Torah procession. You know, we have a handout that explains how a Torah scroll is made. We went through this on Hashanah Rabbah about how the Torah portion is made. And so I encourage you to take some time and read through that. I'm not sure if you're going to take the time to read it, but it's really quite interesting. Let me just give just a few thoughts about it. I just kind of found out that the Torah, the weight of the Torah is 20 to 25 pounds. I've always wondered. So it's all on the one side now. And so every week we lift up the Torah. And but anyways, that's kind of interesting. But just encourage you to read through this handout, because you know it's quite amazing how a scribe is able to. It takes a year and a half for a scribe to, you know, write through the Torah and to record the Torah and to make the Torah, and there's 304,805 letters found in the Torah. And they're all precisely written by the scribe. It takes a year and a half to complete it. And most Torahs are written with 42 lines of text per column. The entire Torah scroll is written with 68 parchment skins. It's 96 feet in length. If you stretch out the Torah, it's 96 feet in length. And each column has 42 lines, 10,290 lines in the entire scroll. It's all handwritten, and it's quite an accomplishment for a scribe to spend his whole, you know, his life in devoting himself to God's word and writing God's Torah. So I encourage you to take some time to read through that. But I just wanted to share some thoughts on this Torah scroll and the Torah procession. You know, there's some people who may come to visit our congregation and see the Torah scroll, being marched around the congregation and wonder why we reach out and we touch it. Many may think, well, in their hearts that they're worshiping the Torah scroll and making it an object of worship. Aren't they breaking the second commandment? You shall not make for yourself a graven idol in the form of anything in heaven or on earth. Well, first of all, the truth is the Torah is not an idol. It represents the living word of God and how it guides every aspect of our daily lives. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 3. You know, God gave this commandment to Israel. It shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. When we are diligent to obey the Torah and the word of God, we are doing it out of a love relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And it's our desire to honor and obey him with all of our heart and soul. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we're given an amazing revelation of Yeshua. In fact, the entire book of Revelation is a revelation of Yeshua, which God gave to show the servants what must soon take place. And we're living in that age. We're just about there to see the events of Revelation begin to unfold before our very eyes, what's happened in Israel and the birth pangs that we're going through. That's all a part of God's plan in these last days. But it says here, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. So Yeshua begins this letter to Yochanan by giving a message to seven congregations in the province of Asia. And he spoke of the seven stars, the seven congregations, and the seven lampstands. And then he explains what they represent. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven congregations. The seven lampstands are the seven messianic congregations. And Adonai said that the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I sometimes speak about this during Hanukkah. But what Yeshua is saying is that each one of us, each one of the seven congregations had an angel overseeing and protecting their congregation. I believe that Beth Shekinah also has an angel that is watching over and guarding us. And Yochanan said that in the spirit, Yeshua is walking among his people. He sees all, he knows all, and he hears all our works. And so I just kind of using this as an illustration to explain the procession that we do. In a prophetic sense, as the Torah scroll is being paraded around the congregation, it's really a visible reminder that Yeshua, the living Torah, is walking among us. That we are a temple, we are a lampstand of the living God. And we have to let our light shine before men. So every week when we celebrate God's word by reading it in the original Hebrew language, we're demonstrating in a very public way how Yeshua is the fulfillment of the living word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. What did Yeshua say to his disciples after his resurrection? I think there's a scripture in Luke 24. If you kind of move on to that one. And beginning with Moses, the Torah and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And what do we have on the wall above the ark right here? If you look ahead here, it is written of me. And what did Yeshua say in Hebrews 10, verse 7? I think there's a scripture there. Next slide. Then he said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. It is written of me. Everything in the Torah points to Yeshua. And that's why Yeshua is front and center on a banner. You know, he's front and center of everything that we do. And so from a messianic perspective, the Torah scroll represents the priestly and kingly Messiah, Yeshua, who is the living manifestation of the written Torah. The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And out of respect for the Torah and the message, we dress the Torah scroll in a priestly and kingly garment, and we pledge ourselves to walk in the path of the Torah. And so as you can see, like this, our Torah, there's, you know, in a Torah, they'll have a crown, they'll have bells and all the whistles, and so to speak. So, you know, the Torah is being walked around the congregation. It's clanging with the bells. And it's really intended to represent how, for us, from a Messianic perspective, that it really represents the priestly and kingly garment, and we pledge ourselves to walk in the path of the Torah. And we have the children walk around in procession to demonstrate our desire as parents that our children will walk the path that we hope they will walk. And that we'll lead them and we'll guide them into truth, and we'll provide them instruction so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. So we don't worship the Torah scroll, we worship the one who is the living Torah. And so the Torah scroll is a representation of our King, who is worthy of our honor and worship, and one day we'll bow down before our King. Out of love and respect for God's word, we reach out and we touch it to affirm our love for God's word. And within the Jewish community, there's so many rich and meaningful customs and traditions that we express as part of our community. We've just come out of the appointed times. We have the holiday Siddur, and it really expresses, you know, in a beautiful way, in many scriptures and many prayers and blessings that we go through, and it really helps to enhance, you know, because God's a God of ceremony. And sometimes we think, well, this is a bunch of liturgy, it's so dry. But, you know, liturgy is an expression of worship as well. And we come together on Shabbat, you know, we have the Torah Ark, the Ten Commandments on the Ark, the menorah, the shofar, the beautiful banners on display in our sanctuary, creating an atmosphere in our congregation that really will help to strengthen our identity and our vision as a Messianic community. It's all part of our vision. And so as we enter this new year, let's look forward with expectation of what Adonai has in store for us. Because I know that we're living in very prophetic times right now, and we're in the midst of birth pangs, and, you know, every week something happens in the world. And we need to be a people who are awake and alert and aware of what's happening. And this is the Word of God will preserve us and keep us. So don't neglect the Word of God. Make sure that you spend time in God's Word every day, reading His Word and just praying and seeking God's face. So, Father, thank you, God, for this time that we can come together. Lord, thank you for your Word. Lord, thank you that Yeshua is the living Word that became flesh and dwelt among men. The greatest revelation this world has ever known is when you came to this earth and you took on the form of humanity. And Lord, that you were the Word that was spoken. You said in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. And Lord God, in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth by your Word. And Lord, that very Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So Father, thank you that we can honor your Word and celebrate your Word today in this context of Simchat Torah, as we rejoice over your Word. And we thank you, God, for your living Word that would truly live in our hearts, and we hunger and thirst for more and more of you in our life. In Yeshua's name, we praise you. We thank you, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.